Hello and welcome to Pearls and Swine. My name is John and I'm glad to be with you today. I've also got Pastor Travis with me. As usual, we're still holding things down while Pastor Levi is on his sabbatical. And we've actually got a couple of guests with us today who I'll get to in just a moment. But over the last couple of weeks, you've heard a discussion on our show about this thing called Celebrate Recovery. And so the last couple of weeks, we went through 8 principles that are key to recovery in that program. As we talked about, essentially it goes through the Beatitudes. So it's a step-by-step process that they've put together for recovery. We are doing this because we're in the process right now at Evangel of starting a Celebrate Recovery group at our church for our community, for people to come and find recovery. That's the goal. And so we thought it would be good today to hear a story of recovery, and we're hoping that that'll be helpful. Whether you yourself have been through a recovery process, maybe you're in the middle of it right now, maybe it's something that you know you need and haven't done, or maybe there's somebody in your life. There's all kinds of possibilities how this could have touched your life, but we're hoping it's a blessing. Travis, anything to add before we jump into this?
No, I mean, we had a good conversation over the last couple of weeks, and we got some pretty good feedback on that. So that's always encouraging. We love hearing from our faithful listeners out there. But I'm just super excited to have our guest with us today. We know you guys pretty well, and you've got some pretty cool stories in your life and just how the Lord has worked in those areas. And I mean, you also, when you go on vacation, you bring back some pretty cool souvenirs. So, you know, there's that too. So we should probably introduce our guests.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we've got Matt and Lisa Watrous, and you guys are Uper transplants, but this is your second time around here. And so, you know, John's been working with you guys over the past few months for getting Celebrate Recovery launched here at Evangel, and you went down to, was it Indiana to do some training?
Oh yeah, beautiful Indiana.
Yeah, tropical and lovely. And so, I mean, you've guys got just a wealth of knowledge that we're excited to have you as part of not just the Evangel community, but just the Celebrate Recovery community as well, because, I mean, we know that God is using you guys in some mighty, mighty ways, and so we're excited about that today.
Yeah. And so I guess the question to start things off here, and I'll let you guys, you can decide who wants to start us off. But as a couple, really, I think it's fair to say that you've gone through a recovery process and you're still, because I'm learning the language here, you're still in it. And so tell us a little bit about what that process has been like for you guys.
We're really glad to be here, and I'm going to say, Matt, why don't you answer that question?
There you go.
I guess if I reflect on my experience, 3 years ago, I would not have said that I needed to be in a recovery program.
Interesting, yeah.
I grew up in the church. I understand the language of the church. I've read my Bible. I've gone to Sunday school. I think, as I reflect back again, you know, one of the things I didn't realize that my life had become unmanageable. There were problems in my life, addictions with porn, there was addictions with alcohol. Mm-hmm. There was my own addictions and my own fantasies and trying to have life the way that I wanted it. And to cover up those problems, I mainly turned to alcohol, and that became a real problem in my life. It did become unmanageable. And I didn't realize the separation. I grew up understanding that I needed to turn my life and my will over to God to let Him have control in my life. Understanding this and the biblical principles that, you know, go along with this are something that are ingrained in me. Mm-hmm. But slowly, it seems as though I worked into my own self the idea that I could create a solution for myself. And so my recovery process became when it was threatening the livelihood of my family, when I was about to lose the thing that the Lord had given me that He had done so miraculously, my wife, my kids, because there was no way that they could live with me and the person that I had become. I'd become selfish. I'd become unable to be around. I assume it was walking on eggshells all the time because I could become angry. So my journey through recovery has been one that has come to understanding that I had a problem, a major problem, a problem that affected many other people. Acknowledging that although I had been trained all my life to understand who God was and what the principles of the Bible teach, that I had not practiced those and that I had to turn my will and my life over to the care of God.
You know, I like what you said there about just not having God in the driver's seat of your life. And for you, it was as a major addiction when you look at the alcohol stuff that you were talking about and how it impacted everybody. But what we were talking about last week with Celebrate Recovery and who it's for, I love that it's for everybody. We all have, what are they, the hurts, habits, and hangups. Yeah. And so, you know, whether it's porn addiction, alcoholism, whether it's anger stuff, or just the fact that we all want our own way in our lives. And, you know, you talked about growing up in the church, and we know what the Bible tells us, what God wants for our lives. But we all, and myself included, I'm talking to me really right now, is like, I've got these things of how I want stuff to go and how I want it to be. And it's not always in line with what God has for me or for my family or for others. So that's what I really appreciate of seeing how a Celebrate Recovery kind of overlays with, it can apply to everybody because it's biblically based. It's right out of scripture. And then we talked about that with the Beatitude thing. So did you go through Celebrate Recovery?
No, this is actually my first involvement with Celebrate Recovery, at least in an official capacity. I've attended a meeting before, but I spent some time with other 12-step programs. During my recovery process, I did an intensive outpatient therapy, IOT, I think, or IOP. Mm-hmm. IOP is what they call it. And so during that process, that's where I spent, I want to say 3 hours a day in therapy with other people that were struggling to or in a recovery process. Mm-hmm. Through that grew 12-step involvement, and then now we're moving into the Celebrate Recovery.
So what are some of the similarities that you see between other recovery programs and CR that are great or maybe not so great? Can you speak into that a little bit?
I think the strongest thing that, to go back to my story, I really think that the first couple steps or principles in Celebrate Recovery or first steps in a 12-step program really help outline that that you have a problem and you can't control it, or this is something that you have to have help with. And then to yield yourself and acknowledge that problem and then yield it to a higher power, if we're talking for a 12-step program or in Celebrate Recovery, we bridge that and say that that higher power is God, is Jesus Christ in our life, our salvation. And so we bridge that gap, and that's the strong. Obviously, there's a lot. They always say work the program and do the work. There's a lot of work that comes after those, but taking those first two steps and that realization is really the key to, I believe, the 12-step program and any type of recovery program.
I just recently had a conversation with someone who's been, you know, years, almost, well, maybe even longer than I've been alive, of experience helping in AA and other recovery programs other than Celebrate Recovery. We actually met to talk about Celebrate Recovery. But this person shared with me that the key, in his opinion, and I think the steps, whether it's the 12 steps or the 8 principles in Celebrate Recovery, whatever it is recognizing our dependence, which is so hard because we are taught, you know, and he brought it up in this way, you know, what is your goal with your children? If you have kids, you know, we want them, we would say, to be independent, right? I don't want them to live in my house forever, as cute as they are most of the time right now. It's not going to last forever. We want them to be independent, right? And so there's this idea that gets into our heads that we're supposed to be independent if we're good, productive adults, whatever. And he said, actually, the Christian worldview is that we are completely dependent. Just like my 1-year-old daughter is completely dependent on mom and dad right now, that what they're dependent on will change as they grow, but it's recognizing, you know, that life is unmanageable without God's help. And that's not just true of addicts, right? That's true of all of us. So anyway, I think you're right. That's a great connection to make between what Celebrate Recovery talks about and what we see in other 12-step programs and things like that. Lisa, I'm curious, at this point in Matt's story, when he recognized, okay, I have a problem, I can't take care of it myself, what kind of change did you see at that point, if any? And what was going on in your mind and your life at that time?
Well, I think for me, it was an equally surprising thing to come to terms with the fact that we needed some kind of help, that our life together and separate had become unmanageable. And admitting that as a church person in leadership in church is a really, really, really tricky thing.
Yeah.
It takes a fair amount of courage and help from the body of Christ, which is what I suppose that the first two steps of Celebrate Recovery principles and the 12 steps are crucial, as Matt points out. But I also think the thing that makes Celebrate Recovery different and really beautiful is the necessity of the body of Christ to help you towards your recovery. Certainly there are great communities and relationships that are formed within other 12-step programs. And I'm actually a member of another 12-step program, and I value those relationships. However, there is something very unique, even supernatural, about the body of Christ, and Celebrate Recovery is big on that. Mm-hmm. So the connection with the local church, I think, is pretty powerful. So it was hard for me, I guess, to answer your question in a roundabout way. It was really hard for me to come to terms with Matt's addictions, to recognize that I could not do anything about it. Mm-hmm. I'm a person who likes to make change and get things done, and to realize that the person I cared about the most, I had no ability to help him toward recovery, that I had to give it completely to God, and I had to leave it in Matt's hands, was a really, really hard thing. Hmm. But once I did, and I was finally honest about the addictions that had plagued our marriage for many years, there was a great freedom there. The body of Christ, actually here at Evangel, our friends here are very dear to us, because even though at the time we were in Arizona, they still surrounded us with prayer and advice and encouragement and counsel, and they brought us to recovery. They carried us there. Mm-hmm. And I'm really grateful for that, because once you tell the truth, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so we did, right. And God has done amazing things.
Hmm. That's great. One of the things is with what you're just sharing that I'm reminded of in the time that I've got to know you guys and hear even more of what this journey has been like for you as a couple. I'm just very impressed by how you've worked through these things together. I hear way too many stories, Travis, you probably have too, of similar scenarios, and really, you know, the other spouse doesn't really feel a responsibility to be a part of that recovery. And so they sort of just let the other person deal with it and hope that they'll fix things so that they can come, you know, make things right or whatever, which is understandable. But I think, you know, when one of the things that I talk about whenever I perform a wedding for a couple is self-sacrificial love. Scripture says that we're supposed to love each other as husband and wife, like Christ loved the church and he sacrificed himself for the church, you know. So I've appreciated the way that, and I'm sure you haven't done it perfectly at all moments, but one of the things that I celebrate in your story is that kind of self-sacrificial love that I see in how you've handled things.
Well, I think too, one of my favorite, I don't really care for, was it 1 Corinthians 13 with all the loves? That's a silly wedding passage. You know, it's way overused. Yeah. However, one of my favorite lines in that passage is that love believes the best.
Yeah, right.
And I think that in our marriage, we try to model that kind of love. And Matt was in the middle of addiction that was threatening our marriage in many, many ways. And it was not fun to live with him. Mm-hmm. Not fun. However, Jesus, when he looks at me, sees the best. God sees Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think that if our love in our relationship, in our marriage, can look like that, what beautiful things that God can do. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that we both kind of approach our marriage in that way, that God sees us not for who we are, but who he is and what he has done. And we could maybe, with faith, see that too. And to Matt's credit, he did the work. So he did really hard work. It was hard to do that. And so I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
So what intrigues me is like, okay, you get to this point, you realize you have a struggle, a problem, and you have to come clean. And even when you, Lisa, were talking about like getting support of the church, that's a scary thing to do. Whether it's Matt, your issue, or the having to share it with everybody else, how did you come to that point? What was it that maybe pushed you as like, yeah, now I need to go here and I need, you know, you talked about giving control over to the Lord in your life, but how did you do that individually and how did you get to that place together?
Well, I think the recovery process is part of that help. As you go through the recovery process, as you yield yourself to your higher power, or if you yield yourself to Christ, it begins to work in you and you begin to think about, you reflect on your story. And if you visit a 12-step meeting or if you go to Celebrate Recovery, people will be sharing their story, their story of addiction, their story of recovery. I think you see this modeled also in the Bible, that we share our testimony with each other, and that is an essential part of the growth that you find through the recovery process. Yeah. So coming clean is actually the method by which you begin to feel some healing, begin to put some distance between your addiction and the way that you want to see your life lived for Christ.
Yep.
So it's all part of it, and it gives you, as you recover, it also gives you the courage to be able to share your story and say, the worst is behind me, because living that way and hurting those people is far worse than feeling the embarrassment or dealing with shame that you've made some mistakes, because it is far, again, just far better to live in the recovery process than to live in the hurt.
Mm-hmm. What I appreciate about that is that all of us as believers, we've come from that place where we've had the guilt and the shame, where we have to come to the realization that, you know what, in God's eyes, we're not clean, we're dirty, we're muck, but because of Jesus, he loves us so much that when we go to him and we confess our stuff and our dirt and we let his light expose our hearts, he wants to make us clean. And that is, you know, when we walk in that faith journey with God, our place, like, we don't feel it in that moment, but once we come to know Christ, we realize, oh yeah, I was so bad, you know, and then Jesus wiped it all clean for us. And we have to do that 180, that repentance moment. So, I mean, it's hard. It's hard for when we're just as believers walking through that. And then you throw in your wife and your family and having to do those things, man, I'm just like looking at you as like, he's the man over there. Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to puff you up too much, but like to have the guts that it takes as a man to own up to our stuff and recognize, yeah, I've got a problem. And so from my question for you, if I can push in a little bit, what was that moment like for you? Where did you come to that place where you're like, oh, this has gotten out of hand for me?
I would say for about 6 months leading up to the decision to go into recovery, I've maybe even longer, I felt that there would have to be a stop, or something terrible was going to happen. I appreciate Lisa in that she was persistent and that she stood up, and she relinquished the control that she wanted to put on me to recover and said, this is where I'm at. You need to recover or we have to make a change in our marriage. And she left it up to me. And I would say that at that moment when she relinquished that control and said, it's a decision that you have to make and this is what is on the line, I think that is probably the moment where I could say that, you know, recovery was the only option and I needed to press forward with that.
So leading up to that, did you see some things yourself that you're like, man, I recognize that this is getting out of hand for me. Like, I need to draw that line in the sand where...
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I that resonates with me because I struggled with the porn addiction stuff in college. And it's like, you get to a point where you're like, how did I get here for one? And you're like, it needs to end. And so for me, you know, it had to be that boundary of the line where it was like, I can't cross that anymore.
Mm-hmm. our conversation is making me think of a verse in Proverbs that fits well with this. It says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. I mean, there's so many passages like this in Scripture that just, you know, and I think of one of my favorites is in 1 John, where it talks about shining light in the darkness. And I often think about this in terms of we have to shine light in the darkness, knowing that there's going to be scary stuff in there. There's going to be gross stuff in there. There's going to be stuff that we wish would just stay in the darkness. But the reality is, just because it's in the dark doesn't mean it's not there. Doesn't mean there's not scary, gross stuff there, you know? And I think sometimes this is, you know, I often speak from the perspective of a church person, quote unquote, because that's kind of how I've grown up. And I think in the church world, sometimes we can be even worse at this because we think about, oh, I have this status to uphold or this expectation. You've talked about that a little bit in your story already, but I just, again, with Travis, applaud the obedience is the word that I would use to shine light in there, even though there's stuff in there that you didn't want people to know about. Mm-hmm. But there's a certain level where, in order to, you said this, Matt, you have to come clean if you're really going to deal with it. And I know I'm learning that's a key in Celebrate Recovery as well. You can't keep hiding. That doesn't mean you run around and tell everybody everything that you do, but it's finding somebody who can hear that, know who you really are, and help push you to take the right steps.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you guys want to share?
I think that were I to share, it would be more of an invitation. I think the hardest part for me of getting Matt to recovery was what other people in the church might think of me, because we're like regular people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a pastor's kid. We're regular people. Everybody knows us. And as Matt said, we know the verses, we know the songs, we show up every Sunday. And I would encourage people who find themselves in a similar situation, whose lives are overwhelmed by addiction, whether you are the one who's addicted, or you're the partner of one who is addicted, or you don't think you're addicted, but there's something that tells you you might have issues, and you're in the church, and you're afraid of what other people might think. I would say Evangel is a place where arms are open wide. Mm-hmm. And it is a place where you can be who you are, and God will transform your life. He can do that. I have seen it. And it's worth telling the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And it makes me think, because I know, you know, there's people listening to this who are at other churches. I will just say, maybe this, Travis, you can soften this if it needs to be softened. But if you're at a church where you don't feel safe to confess, there's a couple of possibilities. One, you might just be wrong. So right. That's a real possibility. But if you're at a place where you do share something that you're struggling with and you get pushed away because of that, that is not the way that Jesus would have us act as church leaders. I'll speak as a pastor. And I know that happens sometimes. And, you know, sometimes it's a pastor. Sometimes it's someone in the church who might hear something about you and push you. That's not biblical. And so, you know, if you're in a place like that, I would encourage you to not give up just because of one bad experience in the church.
Yeah, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary, right? Yeah, like, and absolutely. So if you're weary and you're struggling, the church has to be a place where you can confess your stuff and work through it. We're not going to pat you on the back and say, hey, keep going. It's okay. Yeah. We're going to love you and come alongside you for change to the way that God wants for your life.
Yep.
So that has been Pearls and Swine here at Evangel. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate your transparency and vulnerability of sharing what your journey was like in that. And we just love hearing your story, and thank you so much for sharing it. For you listeners out there, if you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love to hear from you. You can always catch our podcast at evangelup.org on our website. If you've got any ideas for topics for episodes coming up, we'd love to hear that as well. You can email me, travis@evangelup.org. Otherwise, we will catch you guys next time, and thanks for hanging out with us.